At this point, we are getting into serious discussion about the abilities of the piano. And Andra Schiff just described that he does not like to use the pedal. This is a preference that he has in common with Glenn Gould. Glenn Gould did use the pedal very sparingly, but Andra Schiff says he does not use the pedal at all. And so all the performers who consider themselves very pianistic performers would consider Andra Schiff as, you know, betraying the very soul of the piano, which they would consider is the sustain pedal. Anyway, here is the whole interview clip, I mean, the part where he talks about these sorts of matters, and followed by his recording of the A minor fugue, where he says he has real trouble at the end, and where for the first time he had to use the sustain pedal.
So it's all, plus they used to have pedal harpsichords and all kinds of hybrid animals. So it's all a collection of that, but you cannot really now say which specific prelude and fugue was intended for which instrument. And yet I think this elephant is the only one that can somehow, if you treat it well, do justice to all of these works. You cannot play all the preludes and fugues on the clavichord. Certainly not on the harpsichord. I mean, people do, but I suffer from that because you have all these appoggiaturas. If you play an appoggiatura, for example, you see, the second note has to be, any musical person, I'm sure you are all musical in this room, if I ask you to sing an appoggiatura, then you will sing tam taram, tam tiram, sospiri, sospiri. The second syllable is softer than the first. If it's not, then it's unmusical. And the harpsichord is not able to play that. I mean, it's just not possible. You have to make huge agogic changes. And I think that distorts the music. I mean, it becomes something in Bulgarian rhythm. Because if I play, and that's what the harpsichordists tend to do, because there is otherwise no possibility to make that second note softer. So therefore, I find that all these kind of very vocal pieces are not suited to the harpsichord. And then you have the organ, you have the end of the A minor fugue, you know, which starts, you know, it's a monstrous fugue, and it's you hear that pedal note, and you cannot play the end of this fugue with two hands. It's just not possible. So that proves this is an organ fugue. But it's the only one which is obviously an organ fugue. And so this is the only example in all of Bach where I must touch the sustaining pedal, which I hate to do. Not because of a dogma. We should talk about this because it's one of my idée fixes, and I have been seriously attacked on this by a very great fellow pianist, I will not mention the name, who said, how dare you not use pedal in Bach? And I say, why should I use pedal in Bach? Because all the great pianists of the past have used pedal in Bach. Is that an argument? I don't think so. Certainly, in all those instruments that Bach had at his disposal, the sustaining pedal did not exist. It's a much later invention. And it can do terrible damage, destroying the voice leading, destroying the clarity of the counterpoint. I mean, the clarity is essential in this music. You cannot play like if you are like talking with your mouth full. You have to speak clearly, articulate.
And here's the A minor fugue from the 48 Preludes and Fugues, Book 1.
Thank you.
Bach hardly ever gives us tempo markings, also phrase markings, dynamics. We're often very lost. So how do you determine what the character of a piece is, what the tempo should be, and so on?
Well, that is very personal. But again, it comes from experience. How many other works of Bach you know, and what you associate it with. There are also some real indications. The preludes are easier to characterize, especially in the first book. In the second book, the preludes 20 years later become much more complex and much more polyphonic. So it's harder to come to terms with those. But also there is an idea of the different keys and the symbolism of those keys, which a lot of musicians of Bach's time, like Kirnberger and Matheson, try to characterize. It's very entertaining because they never agree on anything. I mean, for one theoretician, a certain E major is lyrical and pastoral, and for the other one, it's highly dramatic. But it's still pretty obvious. You take a piece like this, you know. This is a pastoral to me. There is no question. If you know the Christmas oratorio, or you have those movements when there you have the sheep grazing.
Heinrich Schiff mentions two pieces here when he's talking about the Siciliano style. Basically pieces that are in 6-8 time. And one of them is the pastoral from the Christmas oratorio, and the other one is Sheep May Safely Graze, which is not in 6-8 time, but still he talks about sheep grazing. Now here's the Christmas oratorio Sinfonia, which is definitely a pastoral. Thank you. sheep grazing. Sheep may safely graze, which is a piece from a secular cantata. It was a religious cantata intended for somebody's birthday, but it was intended also to be played in the palace and rather than the church. One of the pieces that Glenn Gould was famous for was the Goldberg Variations, and I had almost hardly ever heard these things being played, and I listened to Glenn Gould's performance and I was seriously underwhelmed, and to this day I can't really bring myself to listen to the whole set. But in case you might like this one just as much as some of these other people do, here it is, the aria from the Goldberg Variations.
Thank you.
Variation 1. Variation 2.